It's time to bring together the roundtable on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford.
We're back on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Today's roundtable served by Rosewood Grill in Hudson and Strongsville. Catch the delicious details at rosewoodgrill.com. Rosewood is a casual neighborhood joint from the same local team that brings you the award-winning Blue Point Grill and Delmonico Steakhouse. And even though it's an everyday kind of place, the incredible quality of food and service will simply blow you away. Homemade soups, burgers, steaks, seafood, there's something on the menu for everyone. If you go there, make sure you get the sushi shots if you're into some delicious ahi tuna. We're joined now on the round table from the PNC Bank Cleveland Browns Radio Network by the voice of the Browns, Jim Donovan and Doug Deacon. Gentlemen, I think this one was as bad as we've seen this year from the Cleveland Browns against the New York Jets. We'll just kind of throw it over to you, get your quick reactions.
Well, I would agree with you. I thought there were three areas going into the game that the Browns thought that they were going to, you know, by conquering these three areas, they were going to win the game. I thought, number one, I think that they felt they would have a better effort than the Jets after the Jets got mathematically knocked out. I think, number two, they thought Jason Campbell would dramatically outplay Geno Smith. And number three, I thought because Jason Campbell would do that, Josh Gordon would have an incredible day against D. Milner. So I think when Tashaun Gibson hit the quarterback out of bounds, that got the Jets going, and their efforts surpassed the Browns. I thought Geno Smith totally outplayed Campbell, and I thought that D. Milner really did a great job against Josh Gordon, and that's it. I think that was it.
And I thought Jim would probably get a chance to call Ed Reed's name one more time.
And I did, yeah.
And he
yeah.
did for the 12th time.
I mean, is that not unbelievable? He has had 12 interceptions against the Browns, 3 for touchdowns, and he probably could have taken that one.
Oh, yeah.
And at some point, you know, this team has to learn how to, when you get somebody down, you put your foot on the throat. And they had their opportunities, especially early on in the game. And, you know, you look at the numbers from the game. You know, we had a better rushing average than the Jets. It sure didn't seem like I'm watching that
game. Not at all. Hey, guys, and here's the other part of this that's so confounding, because we heard so much, and you heard it too, so much talk about playing for pride, finish this thing off in the right way. And while there's that conventional conversation about that, unfortunately, in multiple years with this team at the end of seasons, we've been through this before, I thought it would be different this year. I thought the whole idea of the prospect of what's ahead, what this offseason could bring, the newness of it all still, the new administration, the new this, the new that, and all of that being something that was going to be encouraging for this football team. And to see it end the same way, and to see effort, and I have questions about the effort, Jim. Were you surprised? Were you kind of shocked by that? Because even if you don't end up with a winning result, it shouldn't look that bad.
No, and yesterday was really the first time I saw it, though, and it really it happened right at the end of the half. You know, that 10-point lead was gone in like a blink, and it certainly I thought when Campbell threw the pick and Milner picked it off, and they were on a pretty good drive at that point, I thought that was deflating to them, but I hadn't seen it before this, Vic. I really didn't. I thought that they played right up until the final whistle, so I was surprised that it happened yesterday, but it happened. There's no question. We weren't seeing things, we weren't feeling things that weren't there. It definitely happened.
And I think, you know, you get to it, we're all of a sudden we're getting different bodies in there. You know, it's kind of like, you know, the bottom of our roster, we're always changing, and it's like we got a 15-man practice squad because, you know, the rotation down there. And the continuity is lost. But we also do a lot of substitution where, as a player, you know, I think to get into the rhythm of the game, you've got to stay in the game. And, you know, as an offensive tackle, you know a defensive end is going to try to set you up. You know, he's going to show you something. He's going to show you something. Then when it comes crunch time, you know, he's going to give you his A move. Well, you know, with the rotation that we have, I don't know if our guys can really, you know, do that, because it seems like every, you know, two series we're rotating people.
You know what I'm amazed at, though, is when you look at some of these teams and what they did yesterday and what the Browns didn't do. I just watched when we were on the plane coming home. I'm watching Pittsburgh flying around, you know, after an 0-4 start, and they're right back there. And I know a lot of things have to happen this weekend for them to get in. But, I mean, they went to Green Bay. It's a horrible day there. They went out there, and they played their tails off, and they won. The Giants, I was listening to that game when I got in the car yesterday. I mean, they have no reason to play hard right now. They went in there. They go into Detroit, knock them out of the playoffs. They win the game in overtime. I mean, everything's going wrong for them. Eli Manning's getting sacked, throwing the ball all over the place. They win the game. You know, look at you just look at some of these teams and you know, how they get themselves. There's a professionalism, I think, to them that resonates.
I had those same thoughts as I was watching those same games and the same flight with you yesterday.
Yeah, I mean, really. Yes. I mean, you know.
Yes, that's well put.
Those guys, though, I feel like they've tasted it. They've won Super Bowls.
Ben Absolutely.
And they have a leader that they believe in, even though Eli's having a horrendous year that they know. It's still Eli Manning. He's a guy who's won two Super Bowls.
Is that it? And I think that asking this is a real question. Is that it, Deke? I mean, as a player, did the fact that they just haven't walked that walk, does it really impinge on your – because – some of these guys have also been part of, like, really good collegiate programs.
Yeah, right, exactly.
But then all of a sudden you get in an environment. You know, I've said it before. When I went, I came from a college program. It was on probation. We won three or four out of 30 games in the 3 years you were eligible for the varsity. Then I come here and I go to playoffs the first couple of years. And I'm thinking, hey, this is pretty good. But then, you know, you hit that streak where all those guys from the 64 championship team are gone, and you go all the way to 1980 before you get in the playoffs again. I'm talking from 72 to 80,
it's
and
like
you got a pretty
years.
Good swing. And one season you start out 0-9, and you're going, geez, you know. And the sad thing about it is, because this town is so great when you win.
Yeah, I mean, of course.
And some of these guys like Joe Thomas, Nicole, really haven't had a chance to enjoy it. But, to put a finger on, you know, we always are changing, you know, and every time you get a new regime, you go to something else. At some point, you know, you look at the Steelers, how they just, you know, they have a system. You know, they got a new running back. He fits the Steelers system, you know. So, you know, you got to stay with the system and, you know, work your people into it. You got to draft and develop. You can't draft and then, you know,
right. But, there was such a – yesterday really affected me when I was watching that and just watching these teams just, you know, hang in there. And I think the best word is there is a professionalism about them that they will not allow this to happen, you know, to them, whether it's a playoff year or not a playoff year for them, you know.
And I think the other big game was Arizona going up to Seattle yesterday and beating them up.
Oh, right.
Carson
Palmer, and he had he was overcoming. Yeah. What do they have? Four picks or something? Yeah. I mean, Carson Palmer.
Right. Yeah, I mean that
was Carson Palmer.
That's the oddball of it. You know, he throws four picks and they still win.
It is the oddball of it. How surprised were you guys though that this defense made Geno Smith look that good? Because Geno Smith hasn't been that good at any point this season. He had one good game against Atlanta, week 5. Other than that, he's been pretty dreadful. And then not be able to get off the field on third downs, especially in third and longs against
Geno
Smith.
Third and long. Yeah, I mean, really long,
No sacks.
Yeah.
Against a team that had given up 52.
Right.
Second most in the NFL. And then to let Geno, I thought, to me, defensively, this was as disappointing as it got. And you wonder, maybe we'll get in the comments about it from Jason Campbell in a second, but almost giving up those fourth quarters, it was almost kind of like the will of the defense was broken at times, especially after what happened at the end of the first half. It was just kind of like,
Well, that big run right at the end of the first half was that was a harbinger of things that were obviously going to come. And suddenly, you know, they are getting gashed a little bit in the running game. I mean, you know, Ivory did it yesterday and Forte did it the week before. But you're right, Nathan. I really thought they would have a field day against that kid, you know, coming into that game. And they had been mathematically knocked out from the Monday night win by Baltimore. So I thought that, quite frankly, I think Joe Hayden is a professional. I don't mean this in the way that it's going to sound, but I thought that Joe Hayden, that's one of the reasons why, you know, he was, hey, I'm going to be up and ready to go on Sunday. I might have a big, big day against this guy and kind of wash some of these bad moments that I've had against Jacksonville and Pittsburgh, you know, out of my hair. But man, I'll tell you what, no pressure at all on him. He killed them with those bootlegs a couple of times. He gashed them up the middle with his runs, but his throws were on time and they were good.
Yeah, I mean, it didn't look like the guy that threw 21 picks coming
in. I don't even remember a ball really being in harm's way all day long.
The only balls were in harm's way were one that got battered down to line of
scrimmage. Yeah.
It is the roundtable. It's Jim Donovan and Doug Deacon from the PNC Bank Cleveland Browns Radio Network. It's served to you by Rosewood Grill in Hudson and Strongsville. Please check out the delicious details at rosewoodgrill.com. And, guys, let's talk about Jason Campbell and his game was, to call it another clunker would be charitable. It was a bad performance, and he did not look ready to handle what I expected to be a pretty difficult Jets defensive challenge. I mean, they were going to bring pressure up the middle, all the things you knew, but his disconnect, how badly he was misfiring with open receivers. It was either receivers open, drop the ball, receivers open, or he misfires.
Yeah, and you could see it early, Vic. I mean, really, on his first third down play, he missed a guy wide open, and missed him by a ton. A couple of big misses to Marquise Gray on a screen and on a ball that he had separated from and would have been a touchdown, I think. But it was all day long. I mean, there was a point in the game, I have to be honest with you, where I looked down and, you know, I was wondering if it might have been time to go to the bullpen and go to the reliever.
Go Tanny time.
Yeah. I just think that, that he had, he didn't have it all day long, you know.
No. And, you know, when the receivers drop passes early on, that even makes it worse.
The little drop was horrific.
You have the little drop. Josh Gordon, he dropped probably the easiest pass he's had all year.
Yeah. The little play, didn't that remind you of the ball that he caught in Indy?
Indy, the back of the end zone.
Yeah, where he tipped the ball to his other hand.
Yeah, yeah. And then made the catch.
Yeah. Well, he didn't on this one.
He certainly did not. No. And with the way that Campbell was playing, there were a couple sequences that kind of have stuck out in my mind. One at the end of the first half, and I know the Jets had their timeout, so if they wanted to use them, they could have. But were you a little surprised to see the passes at that point? And then number two, when you look at go down there, Baker I thought was one of the lone bright spots, especially running left. They had great success, about 6 yards of carry running left. You have second and goal from the one, and you throw three passes in a
row. Right, yeah. Well, I thought that's when the game kind of twisted a little
bit
on them. Yeah, and I think, when they got when the penalty on Sheldon Richardson gave them first and goal all over again, and they didn't get it in again, I mean, they got nothing out of it. Didn't they have the ball for like 6.5 minutes or 9.5 minutes in that span of time, and they came away with no points? I thought that's when the Jets said, well, I guess you don't want it, so I guess maybe if it's here, we'll take it.
And that's the thing, you talk about the attitude and wanting it. Sometimes you say to your team, we're going to stick it down their tinkin' throats. We're going to run the football from the one, and we're going to pick up 3 feet, and we're going to get it done. And they didn't even get that opportunity.
Yeah, well, that is troubling about this team, is that even when they went down by 7, they fly down the field. You know, Whitaker gives them the great kickoff return.
Right.
And they get right down there, and they get inside that 5-yard line, and it's like they're on their own 5. I mean, just like we don't have plays for this or whatever. I mean,
it looks dysfunctional.
It's like they're a mile away.
The Yardage penalty did cost them the one touchdown.
Right.
There's
no question. Just, you had a penalty. You had circumstances, but Doug, too many of them. And in a game where you get 4 tries like that on the road, You can't just take a field goal out of that.
No. I mean, and the thing you're talking about, the 3 passes when you got down there, if you're an offensive lineman, you're saying, let's run the ball. This is what I want to do. I want to run the ball. And at 1 yard, 2 yards, you've got to be able to do it. And I just the Baker was running well yesterday.
Yeah,
and he's
Baker
small. He gets underneath his the defensive player's pads. He does. He really showed you something. But let's utilize it a little bit more.
You went Godfather on us when the Baker showed up at the hospital and there was nobody at the hospital, remember?
And he had to put his hand inside his coat.
Put your hand inside the coat.
They did a pretty good job, especially going left, that I would have liked to have seen them at least down there go run the ball left.
Right.
Do it.
Yeah.
No,
I think they, it wasn't just yesterday, Nathan. They've had trouble doing this, don't you think?
All right, so this is the hard question that's coming up from all of this, because it's leading to these hard questions. I am not going into any kind of radical mode here. I do want to maintain some level of perspective as best I can, and it's not easy. This team doesn't make it easy on you. But it's these types of game, that kind of game. You can back it up to the Jaguars game, and you can essentially just talk about most of this last portion of the 6-game now losing streak, and the manner in which it's happened. We all know that this will separate itself, I hope, from everything that happens after the season ends, right? That we're in a whole different place. You're pursuing that quarterback, or at least something to add to the mix at the position. You're pursuing additional receivers, O-linemen, the list that is pretty long on help, and putting some faith and hope into that. But this is a bad look. This is not losing that game yesterday, and I feel nothing that's going to encourage me about Sunday at Heinz Field. I'm sorry. I go into that thinking we're going to feel as bad as we do now, if not worse. And you end the season now with a 7-game losing streak, very likely. What do you take from that? What is it saying about the way these players are approaching their feel for where they are in this organization? Because a lot of these guys are still going to be here. And what they're saying about the coaching staff.
Well, I'm sure the coaching staff is very sensitive about the record, and I think they are, and they should
be. That's on them.
Yeah. You know, that's there, and it's going to be in, you know, record books and things like that. And when you talk about the year, they own that year. Okay, now you may get a year of grace. You know, I think everybody gets a year of grace in that situation. But you go right on the clock Sunday afternoon at 5 o'clock. I mean, after this game, you know, and a lot of people inside this building go on the clock, I think, Sunday afternoon, that you got to make this better. Now, those players, it's hard to keep, you know, it's hard for them to keep saying and for them to keep hearing that they're close. And I think that's what you're saying. 7-game losing streak, if that's what it's going to end up, tells you that, you know, maybe you're not so close. But I think in some way you have to go inside something that was positive. And for a lot of the season, they were in every game. They have not been blown out. I mean, you know, and that's the only thing I think that you can take and say, well, listen, we are close. We have a lot. But the list is lengthy of what has to be done. Longer than I think we anticipated.
I think for sure. And I think obviously you have to look at this whole season through the specter of what's happened at the quarterback position, because this is not a recipe for success. And I don't think any of the quarterbacks on the roster this year are at the level that you need to win in the National Football League, at least this season or going forward, because it becomes more and more of a passing league every single year, as we're seeing. But the defense, I just think the last few games, the way that they've lost those last few has been so disheartening. If they had held a couple of those fourth quarter, you feel so much better about this team, or at least I would, than you do right now.
Well, somebody was saying, and I didn't realize it, that they've actually given up more points defensively this year than they did last year. Which,
yes.
You know, and you thought the defense was the growth of the team, and obviously we've seen the breakdown in the fourth quarter three or four times now in a row.
51 points the last three games in the fourth.
And you know, wow. you're sitting there and say, you know, do we have playmakers on the defensive side? You know, you got to have somebody can step up and make the play, make the difference. And right now, nobody's doing it.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And you know, there are lots of situations that came down on those third and longs where we had the guys that have been invested in to get to the quarterback in one-on-one situations, and they need to win those, and they failed to.
Right.
So other than all that, happy holidays.
Yeah. Nice joy, as it says right on your cup.
Joy to the world in your cup there. Anyway, guys, thank you, though. And in all seriousness, the best for the holidays to you and your family.
And to all of you and your listeners.
And we'll regroup at some point.
Okay.
Soon. Okay. He is Jim Donovan, and the other guy is Doug Deacon. And they're from the Cleveland Browns PNC Bank Radio Network. This roundtable segment that they regularly join is served to you by Rosewood Grill and Hudson and Strongsville. The delicious details are all there at rosewoodgrill.com. The casual neighborhood joint from the same local team that brought you the award-winning Blue Point Grill and Delmonico Steakhouse. Great restaurants, great family of restaurants. And tell you what, when you're out and about shopping and such, or just getting together with friends and relatives through the holiday season, check out Rosewood. It is a cool place, great food, great atmosphere, the whole works. Do so this week and beyond. All right, much more coming up for you. You're going to hear from the head coach at the top of the hour, Rob Chudzinski. Vic Kroji, Nathan Zagura, ESPN 850 WKNR.